Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Would you like to make a significant contribution on your job, to your church, your community, or any other area that you might desire? Regardless of where you are in life, the answer should be an unequivocal yes. God didn't create us, you, me, us, in His image and after His likeness, to have us muddle through life, just going along to get along. Make no mistake about it, our Heavenly Father wants you to make a significant difference in your world and sphere of influence, whatever and wherever that might be. Dinesh D'Souza, a noted film documentary maker and author, said, "Christianity makes life of a moral drama in which we play a starring role, and in which the most ordinary events take on grand significance." That's what happens when we're doing things for God.
James 4:10 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant."
It's not what you do that builds a life of significance. It's who you serve. What does it mean to live a life that is significant? According to dictionary.com, the word significant means important, of consequence. In order to achieve significance in this life, we must first manifest humility in our everyday life. I'm going to believe that our lives will be characterized by scriptural humility, thus releasing significance in our lives. Ann Voskamp, an excellent Christian author, said, "Scales always lie. They don't make a scale that has ever told the truth about value, about worth, about significance." Let's take a look at the seven keys to living a life of significance. Number one, remain the same or change. Remain the same or change. Listen to this quote by Jim Rohn, the motivational speaker and author, who once said,
"If you don't like how things are, change it. You are not a tree."
An unwillingness to change one's opinion, well, might also be known as rigor mortis of the mind. A hardening of the attitude is equally perilous to our health as hardening of the arteries. With a hardening of the arteries, our natural heart will not function properly, which might cause a heart attack or even death. A person with hardening of the attitude ignores the thoughts and intents of our Lord and may find themselves with a heart lacking compassion and motivation. A mind that's unwilling to change will never experience what could be.
Acts 3:19 in the Living Bible. "Now change your mind and attitude to God and turn to Him so He can cleanse away your sins and send you wonderful times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord." What does it take to change a mind and an attitude? Turning to Jesus so that He can cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness and wrong thinking. Romans 12:2 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." A significant part of Romans 12:2, we love quoting from the New Living Translation because it says it so clearly, "But let God transform you, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
A person ignorant of the word will most often possess an unwillingness to change their minds about anything, creating a hardening of the attitude. Whereas a person who has, who's willing to change, will lead a life of significance. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, once said, change your thoughts and you change your world. The power quote. Number two, maximize your creative energy first thing each day. Maximize your creative energy first thing each day. Many secular life coaches, motivational speakers, and even Bible teachers are now teaching that time management's a waste of time. They're now encouraging people to be more concerned about energy management. No matter what you call it, when you put first things first, you're going to be energized. New revelation causes excitement. Excitement is an energy source. We're the freshest in the morning, so we should always put first things first.
Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
When it comes to the marketplace or the workplace, perform your most essential task first. If you wake up to find 200 emails, as I often do, don't necessarily answer them first. Complete your important task first, the ones with the highest priority, and you can handle the other task later. Schedule your focus on key projects when you're the freshest. Think about visualizing the things you want to accomplish, and this will sharpen your focus as you manage your energy toward greater success. Jack Canfield, the co-author of all of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, he said, successful people maintain a positive focus in life no matter what's going on around them. They stay focused on their past successes rather than their future. On their past successes rather than their past failures. And on the next action steps they need to take to get them closer to the fulfillment of their goals rather than other distractions that life presents to them. I can tell you this, if you don't have your focus sharp first thing in the morning, and pursue it, then other people will change your focus and rob you of your time. No other way to say it. Number three, get rewarded every time.
Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The Message Bible translates Ephesians 6:8 in part, saying good work will get you good pay from the master.
Over the years, we've had many people ask us, how can we always be so happy even in the midst of difficult circumstances? It's because we sow happiness. If you want happiness in your life, then sow happiness into the lives of others. Sadly, there are people who want happiness, but they've never sown the first seed of happiness. If you want your dreams to come true, ask God to use you to help others make their dreams come true. God will do for you what you've done for them. That's Ephesians 6:8. The New International Version of Ephesians 6:8 says it this way. The Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Personalize that verse. The Lord will reward Lawrence for whatever good thing he does. Hallelujah. If you want to be rewarded, paid, and blessed, then make it your business, your mission, your passion to help other people achieve significance in their lives. Number four, you're not a clone nor a robot. You're an original. You don't have artificial intelligence. You got God intelligence. And he didn't create you to be a clone or a copy. He created you to be an original, to be significant in the kingdom. as who he created you to be. Victoria Osteen, the wife of Pastor Joel Osteen, said, "You're God's own manuscript. That means you're not ordinary or average. You're a one-of-a-kind original." Over the years, I've heard people try to emulate their favorite secular or even ministry idol, not the pagan kind. I've seen people who walk like their idol, talk like them, use the same mannerisms. In fact, even preach their messages word for word. God didn't create you or me to be clones. He created us to be originals, to be the best that we can possibly be. I heard it said years ago that if you're trying to be like somebody else, the best you'll ever be is second best. Herman Melville, who wrote the book Moby Dick, once said, "It's better to fail in originality than to succeed in imitation." According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word original means the source or cause from which something arises. What makes you an original is your source of inspiration.
Genesis 1 verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
As an original, you were created in his image and after his likeness. And that, child of God, makes you significant in his eyes. You may think the furthest thing from your life right now is that you're not really living a life of significance. You may feel like you're not significant in the workplace, the marketplace, the home place, anywhere else. But let me just tell you, you're totally unique in all the world. Nobody has your voice print, your fingerprint. And not only that, you were made in God's image and after his likeness. And regardless of what your job title may be, which part of town you live in, where, how much college you got, or where, if you graduated from a university, regardless of everything else, you're significant in God's eyes because he made you in his image and after his likeness. Now, I can tell you that's something to shout about. That's something to get excited about and to really come into the recognition. Hallelujah. 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 My wife just showed me something and said, "No one is you, and that is your power." That's a great quote. No one is you, and that's your power. Think about this. We'll pick this up on tomorrow's call. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says, "Sow a seed," just ask God, "What seed did have you put in the ground?" Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.